There comes a time when you start to realize you need to put yourself out there. And it's pretty common at this time to wonder if the real you will translate to the online world. This episode, I'm going to introduce you to a woman in business who gave me permission to be myself at a time when I needed it most. And she did it just by showing up as her real self on stage. Brooke Volinovich is an Instagram specialist, an international keynote speaker, and digital nomad. Her online business, The Social Club Community, has grown from an in-person Instagram workshop business close to a decade ago to what it is now, an online membership of close to 4,000 women in 47 countries around the world. Listen to that again, 4,000 women, 47 countries around the world. These days, Brooke has employed her husband, Dom, who quit his own business to work on hers, as her business development manager, and the two of them travel all over the world with their toddler Carlo, supporting small business owners to grow their own business using Instagram. The big corporates love Brooke too. She's got big, big clients on her list, people like L'Oreal, Maserati, and Hertz. So listen into this episode as Brooke takes us through how she ditched those early fears that her larger-than-life personality, which you're about to hear, wouldn't really translate through the lens of a camera online. Talks about how she found her tribe as an entrepreneur and the biggest mistakes she sees business owners make on Instagram all the time. Enjoy. In today's media landscape, options abound, from traditional platforms like TV and radio to the digital realm, social media, online publications, and podcasts, just like this one. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to the rapid changes in the modern media space. Whether you're a personal brand or corporate entity, staying relevant is key. Join me, a seasoned TV and radio presenter, content creator, and modern media trainer as we navigate this dynamic terrain together. Let's do this. Welcome, Brooke Volinovich.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
So, Brooke, you're an Instagram specialist. You're an international keynote speaker. And I, of course, first heard about what you were up to when I was hosting some of my first business conferences coming out of radio full-time. And I was like, wow, this chick is the real deal. I just remember being totally blown away by how natural you are as a speaker. And I was totally inspired by that as well. I think there's a lot of fakery, a lot of bull dust out there, and people try and hide their personalities sometimes. But with you, there's no denying that you're a bright, bubbly person. Is that who you've always been?
I think so. I think at school it was kind of labelled as probably more a bit weird. And I didn't really know where I fit in until I hit the entrepreneurial world. That sounds a bit sad, but it's kind of true. Like I've always felt a bit different, but I didn't really know why. But now that I've found my calling and what I should be doing, it just feels so right and so normal.
Yeah. A lot of people in business describe finding their tribe as being a big part of why they felt like entrepreneurship and business is them. Is that how it feels for you?
Yeah. Because isn't everyone that's considered sort of entrepreneurial is doing things a bit different? Yeah. But when we all come together, it's like, oh, okay, these are my people. This is where I belong in the world. So, yeah.
Well, let's talk about how that sense of belonging in the world came about for you. How did the social club membership start?
The social club membership. So I was teaching social media workshops from my apartment to six people at a time. And this was before anyone was really teaching social media. Everyone was offering social media as like an outsourced service and no one was doing it themselves. And I'd started a business and I had no money. So I figured I'll try and work out how to do it myself because I can't afford to pay somebody else.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just started researching and testing different things and apparently worked it out. So the social club membership came about after I had been teaching in-person workshops for a couple of years and word was spreading within small business communities. And I was getting requests to do online. And actually, it's funny. I'd love to know your opinion on this, Carmen. I was so scared to put my workshops online because I was terrified that my energy, which was something that I've received a lot of feedback on, would not translate through the screen. Mm-hmm. And I thought, if this is the reason people are loving working with me, am I going to lose that through a lens? and people won't want to work with me anymore. So I never wanted to go online. And then it sort of got to a point where the requests were coming in so much, I would have been silly not to. And I took the learning online and the workshops online and created the social club, which is now my online training community. I don't really do in-person workshops, like public workshops anymore. So it's a subscription service. It's a weekly lesson on how to market your business on Instagram. And I just love it. I love watching business owners or businesses be born and be grown through the power of Instagram.
And I think it has translated beautifully to online. One of the big benefits, I think, is the really repeat access. You know, you've got that weekly communication that you have with your social club members, but then you'll also do things like a live. And my reason for talking to you about this, Brooke, is because they're all on-camera techniques, really, that you're using to maintain your community. So you do that live into the Facebook group each week, and you've also added in some Q&A.
Yeah, I've definitely seen a shift through COVID from consumers who previously might have been like, ew, what's Zoom?
Yeah.
Now everyone's like, oh, we're doing that on Zoom. And then even sometimes people are like, oh, you want to meet in person?
Yeah.
It's gone the other way around, which is great because, you know, online, especially for mums, it's quite a lot easier. Been trying to organize babysitters and drive here and do this. And it's really, you know, time is of the essence.
Is there a mistake? Is there a really common, big, glaring mistake that you see brands making in their socials?
How much time have we got? All right, let me think about, can I do a couple?
Yeah, of course.
Because there's definitely a couple.
Yeah.
The screaming mistake that I'm definitely, is always something that comes up is, social media is a two-way communication platform. It's a telephone for your business. It's not a billboard. So really investing the time into engaging with your community online, making sure that you respond to comments, respond to DMs. And if you're at a, you know, if you're quite new and you're not getting comments yet, that's okay. Everyone starts somewhere, but then going on to other people's posts and having conversations, starting conversation. It is a networking platform. Again, it's not a microphone for your business. It's a telephone for your business. So that would probably be a screaming mistake that I see all the time, just comments that are completely unresponded to on every single post.
Yeah.
From a sort of back end of like a technical end of Instagram, not posting at your peak times on your peak days. That's instantly something that's going to either increase or decrease your engagement. So when you have a business account on Instagram, you get access to your Instagram insights. Now, your insights is the data on all of the content on your account and also the data on all of the people who follow you. So the fastest way to increase your engagement on Instagram, like instantly, is to make sure that when you are posting to your account, it is on the days that the majority of your following are online and at the time of day that majority of your following are online. Mm-hmm. So if you go into your insights, and I think it's the third line down is followers, and you tap on followers and scroll to the bottom of the screen, you'll see a graph, and the graph will show you the days of the week and the times of the day in 3-hour blocks that your following are most active. They are the days and the times that you want to post your content. I would save your best content for your, like, let's say you're posting 3 to 5 times a week. Your best content, make that best day, best time, and then filter your other posts moving down from that, depending how often you're posting. Blurry images also are just kill my soul.
Yeah, camera. Let's see.
Yeah. Clean your camera lens front and back and make sure that you've got good lighting. But you don't need to spend, you know, hundreds or thousands of dollars on fancy lighting. Just get in front of a window. That's all you need to do. Get in front of a window and make sure you have light coming directly on you when you're doing your stories. So just in front of a window, that's like all you need to do, in front of a window, and that will change everything.
How many hashtags do we need for each of the various parts of Instagram?
Okay. So for posts and reels, you want 30. And this is one of the, I'm going to say engagement hacks that some social media marketers use. If they need a little spike of engagement, they'll send out a rumor saying you only need 5 because it will just turn the engagement rumor mill upside down.
Interesting, because I have heard that. I've had that people do it for an engagement spike. I've actually seen people advise you only need 5 hashtags, and I kind of fell for it, I guess.
They're wrong.
I do it.
Everyone has different strategies. That's not really my strategy, but as long as Instagram will allow you to use 30, always use 30, but you do want to be strategic. Now, a lot of people get this wrong and they just post random words that are like, right now, let me turn my camera around so you can see what I mean. So right now on my desk, you can see flowers, specifically lilies. You can see a light. And let's say you can see my pram, right? So if I was to take a picture right now, like an office picture, and share it on my Instagram account, yes, there is a pram, there are lilies, and there's a light in the picture. But they have nothing to do with my business strategically. Mm-hmm. And this is where I feel so many business owners go wrong with hashtags. They get really literal to what is in the image or the video versus thinking about what words are going to attract their customer to their brand overall. Mm-hmm. So rather than being so laser focused in here of the content you're sharing, you sort of want to pull back and think out here, what are some key words that my potential customer would be searching Instagram for? For example, for me, it's things like Instagram tips, Instagram hacks, Instagram advice. You can't see any of those in a picture that I share, but they're the sort of words that you need to be using. And that's also a big mistake that business owners make on Instagram. When it comes to your stories, hashtags work a little bit differently to your feed posts. So the way hashtags work on feed posts, they're designed to categorize content within the app because there's so much content on the app. There's like 6 posts a second or something crazy like that. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that when it comes to your stories, I am a big fan of just using one. Stories, so stories you can use actually up to 11 because you can use one as the story hashtag sticker and then you can type 10 out as text. When you use hashtags in your story, you're basically going into like the hashtag lottery for that story. So the reason why some people have said there's no point to them is because it's not guaranteed that you will show up in the search results when you use hashtags in stories. It kind of, you know, my business motto is you do you. If you've got the time, put them in there.
Is there such a thing as too long for a caption?
Look, there's a lot of trends. Trends will come up that like shorter captions are in, and then trends will come up that longer captions are in. But it really depends on your audience and your value and what you need to say to provide value. So I believe that your content on Instagram needs to either be entertaining, inspiring, or educational. Yeah. If you're sharing a story of, you know, how you got into this industry and then started your brand and then started your business, that's probably going to be quite long and it's going to be valuable to your audience that it is that long. Yeah. Whereas you might be sharing a hack or a tip or a statistic or something that's going to educate your audience, but it doesn't need that kind of length. So really basically audit your captions before you send them or press post and just say, would my following find this educational, inspiring, or entertaining? If not, can I change it so that it is? And if it's not one of those three things, then simply don't post it.
Yeah, I tend to feel the same way about videos. One of the biggest problems for video on any platform, I think, is not watching it all the way through. People might, you know, be lost after that first 3 seconds, but it counts as a view. And so you really do need to be looking for shorter content where possible just to keep people engaged, I think, in the case of video. But as Brooke says, same as with captions, if you've got amazing content and your audience will love it, then it's worth posting a little bit longer because they will get great value from it. It's a bit like a movie. People will sit and watch a 3-hour movie if it's amazing, but if it's crazy.
Totally. Yeah. And the Instagram algorithm also takes into consideration when it's ranking your posts in the feed and the feed order, how long people spend on your post. And if they've got to spend a long amount of time reading a longer caption, that tells the algorithm that it's quality content will automatically push it to more people and increase your reach and exposure to new followers that it thinks might like it. So look, this whole entire app is experimentation. And sometimes you absolutely hit the nail on the head, and sometimes your post will suck. And sometimes my posts still suck. But it's a free way to communicate with our customers. So I think, you know, you got to take the good with the bad, and let's not get too complainy about something.
That's right.
A free tool to market our business globally.
It's a really good point. People do really like to complain about the glitches and changes with Instagram, but they are being responsive. Like any other company right now in the digital space in particular, they have to be really responsive, don't they? So that's why we see so many changes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And again, let's look at the positives.
Always looking at the positives. Do you find that the use of emojis in captions can generate more interest of people to read to the end, because that will break it up, it's more aesthetically pleasing as well?
Depends on your brand. So in doing a lot of audits, I've done a lot of audits over the years, and different brands have different trends, and some brands who may like to have a more sort of luxurious vibe and feel on their account, they won't have emojis. Brands who want to come across as a bit more fun, they'll use emojis. So you really need to just work out where your brand sits. What's your brand voice online, which I'm sure Carmen's talked about this with you before. You know, is it more fun, or is it not like less fun, but is it less on brand to use emojis or more on brand to use emojis? I don't think there's a right and wrong. It's just what works for you.
So Nicole shared that for her, a barrier to posting sometimes can be just not being able to come up with a caption. Is it ever okay just to put hashtags in and let the piece of content you're posting do the talking?
Do you know what's a really good hack for when your mind just has nothing? Quotes. People love quotes. Even quotes as captions. Yeah, quotes are my go-to if I'm stuck, and they always go off. Always.
Yeah. Love it. Any other hacks for when we're stuck for ideas of what to post?
When it comes down to what to post, you really need to think about who you're serving and what's valuable to them. So one of my favorite hacks is actually TikTok, because you don't need to have an account to access the TikToks. And for me, I know that my follower and my customer wants Instagram tips. So anytime I can open TikTok, search in TikTok, Instagram tips, and there's hundreds, if not thousands, of content ideas that you can draw inspiration from. So that's always a really good backup if you're stuck. Or ultimately, if you just can't think of anything to post, spend some time engaging, because it's going to do just as much for building up your audience and building that online tribe and coming across as approachable, which is what everyone's wanting to do, and authentic. And it might actually do better for your account than a post that might flop anyway.
Great point. So rather than feeling that pressure to post every single day, you just got to post something that you didn't really put a lot of thought into, you'd better off just spend half an hour cruising around.
I'm very you do you. I think the social media is a lot like fitness and diet and exercise. And if you don't find something that you can do consistently, you're not going to do it, and you're going to push back on it, and you're going to hate it. So, you know, maybe you post one day and you engage the next, and then you post the day after and then you engage the next.
This comes up a lot as we're coming up with ideas for video content and things you can do on camera. You know, how do you decide, as well as looking for something that's educational, inspiring or entertaining, how do you decide on the topics that you will actually speak about? What's kosher for your brand and what's not?
So if you go to a website called askthepublic.com, it's a free website that you can type in any topic and it will actually generate the searches on Google. So you can see what people are searching on Google around that topic, therefore what people actually want to know about that topic, and then create content based on that.
Yeah. Ask the Public has been a great tip that I picked up from you, and that you can just jot down all your different topic ideas, include those frequently asked questions or searches, and, you know, do that hack as well, that if you've already answered some of those in posts in years gone by, you can A, recreate that post as a new post or make it into a carousel, something else I'm working on. And you can also, of course, just make a video version. So right now the app is asking us to make reels as a priority. You know, Instagram's a business. Like, I'm sure Brooke would echo this sentiment. They're a business like anybody else. They just want us making reels so that people keep watching reels all day in, day out. So you can recreate those topics into reels as well, as long as it's one topic per reel instead of trying to get too much into individual reels. Should we use influencers to help promote business on Instagram?
Absolutely. Influencer marketing, you know, is a multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar industry. And for small businesses, it can really help you to tap into other accounts, audiences that have followings that are your potential customer. But be smart. When you are looking for accounts or when you are looking for influencers, ask to see their insights. You want to make sure that your audience is your customer. Especially if you need local customers, you need to make sure that their following, that majority of their following is where you need customers. So if there's an influencer that won't show you literally their screenshot insights, we don't want just an email with "this is my information" typed out, because anyone can make that up. You want to see the screenshots first. And then once you have that, you can make that decision if that is someone that's going to be good for your brand. You can ask them for their rates. I would make sure that there is an official contract in place. Influencing is a business, and you want to make sure that you're looked after in terms of what you want, like how many posts you want. Are you sending them products? Are they sending them back? Is the post living on their feed? Because a lot of where I see a lot of small businesses go wrong is they don't talk about this first, and the influencer may put the post up and then delete it 24 hours later, and you don't want that, you know? So just make sure you communicate everything you want, even if it's just a Word document that both of you sign. So if there's any issues, because I see a lot of brands getting, can I say fucked over? Because that's really what's happening.
Yeah.
With influencers. So just be smart about it, protect your brand and protect all of your hard work, but absolutely it can be right.
What about promoting something before it's really built? So
yeah, Mary's, I love that.
Get started. Yeah.
So I think social media is the best place to promote something before it's built, because what social media allows you to do is build an audience that are interested in whatever it is that you're talking about. And that's how you get them to trust you. And once they trust you, they'll buy off you like that. So wouldn't it be better as a business owner to have customers waiting to buy when you're ready to launch than being ready to launch and then needing to find customers? And that's what social media allows you to do. It allows you to have people that are following the journey of your launch so that when you do, you have sales coming in instantly instead of having to then find them.
Brooke, you've been so generous as always. Every time I see you do any event, you are so generous with your time. You're a wonderful, engaging, relatable speaker, which is also why I just go to any event that you run. And I do recommend the Social Club membership. It's a really great way for me to just keep that reminder that I need to be involved in keeping an eye on my social media. And the other thing is you guys keep up to date with all the updates and the changes and workarounds with little glitches that come up with Instagram, you know, that I don't have time to. So we appreciate it very much.
We're always there to support you as well. So anything that comes up, I know it can be really hard. Like, I love Instagram and I hear constantly people hate it because it is changing so quickly. So I stay up with the changes and pass them on to you, and also only pass on the ones that matter, because there's a lot of just meh ones that are like, okay, great. That's not relevant to me, but I pass on the ones that are relevant to business owners. So, you're
change
in good
path. Change is so bad. Change usually means better in the long term.
It does. It does. Yeah.
And if you're an early adopter to change, that's the
other thing. And that's why the members are killing it, because you come and you get on board straight away and you do it. And then it takes, you know, 6 months to a year for everyone else to catch up.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Now, love your work, Brooke.
Thanks for having me.
Ah, how great is Brooke? And how great is a podcast for helping us realise there's a whole lot more to people than originally meets the eye? Find a link to learn more about Brooke's Social Club community in the show notes. And if you enjoyed the Instagram tips that Brooke shared here, The episode is from a longer masterclass that Brooke delivered inside my online course, Confidence on Camera. To learn more about that, send me an email. And here's a sneak peek at next week's episode.
I was having a meeting with my manager at the time, and he just said to me, "So why are you here?" And I thought about it and went, "You know what? That's a really excellent question." And 2 weeks later, I tendered my resignation.
That's creative technologist and podcaster Michelle Ong. See you next time. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Carmen Braidwood, your guide to navigating the ever-changing world of media. Dive deeper into today's topics, you can check out the show notes. Or for more details about modern media training, head to carmenbraidwood.com.au. Until next time, keep on shining in the modern media landscape.